Sharing of your faith. seated. Well, good morning, Hillcrest Baptist Church. And thank you, mothers, for all that you do and all that you are. And anyone who is blessed to be called a mother, we thank you and we thank our Lord for you this Mother's Day today. I have a few announcements for you. First of all, youth, we will be having a Sunday Night Life on May 22nd. Congregation, if you would like to host a Sunday Night Life on May 22nd, come see me. We would love to come to your house and eat some of your food and play some games with you. So if that sounds like something you would like to host, contact me and we will set it up. We would love to have that time with you. Also, Joys are going to have a cookout, and that cookout is going to be on Thursday, May 26th. Everything will be provided. That's the kind of cookout I like to go to. Special music night on Sunday, May the 29th, during our regular Sunday evening service. So make sure you sign up out in the foyer with your special talent and share the gift that God has given you to the congregation. There will be no activities going on this afternoon and tonight. Go home and be with family and love on family and just enjoy your afternoon. Let's see, I think that is all. I also ask you to be in prayer for the Fuge coming up. The youth will be going to Jackson, Tennessee, June the 6th for their annual mission trip. So be in prayer for that. I think that's it. But it's good to be here in the house of God this morning, and we want to welcome the visitors. If you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing to come to Hillcrest this morning. If you're a regular attender, thank you for coming back. We want to welcome everybody this morning. The way we're going to do that is we're going to stand up, we're going to sing, we're going to shake hands.
Seated. In front of me. Nope. All righty. I sure am glad you guys are here. Let me ask you something. I want you to think about this. Oh, I'm supposed to ask you something, aren't I? Did you wish your mama a happy Mother's Day today? All love you. Are you sure? How do you honor your mother? All right. Okay, Baron. Okay. Oh, good. Pancake, all right. Good. A hug, all right, I like those. Pancakes and coffee. Well, I am so glad that you guys told your mama thank you and gave her something nice. All of you gave something nice. Really good. I was talking to a young girl yesterday, and I asked her the same question, what are you going to give your mother? You know what her answer was? Well, this girl said nothing. I'm not going to give my mother anything. So I've been thinking about that all night. That kind of bothered me. Okay. Listen to what God says that we ought to do to make our mamas happy. Now listen up. This is really important. This is God speaking to us. So let's be real quiet and listen to what God has to say. It starts out, children. That's you guys. God is speaking to you. Children, obey your parents. And the Lord says this, and it is right. And then God says, honor your father and mother. So how do you honor your mama and dad? What the Bible just say? And you respect them and you obey them. So here's the deal. Okay, listen to this. We obey our parents by doing exactly what they tell us to do. So here's the deal. When mama says do something, you honor her by saying yes, ma'am. Can you say yes, ma'am? How many of you can say yes, ma'am? Okay, how about yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
When mama and daddy are speaking to you, do you say yes, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I know
Daddy's
it.
Daddy's a sister and mom is a man.
Okay. Well,
candy.
The Bible says, obey your parents. So today, I want you to go home and tell mama, because it's her day, that you're going to obey her all day long.
Yeah.
Okay? It's Kit Kats. No, they have to be up here. You're welcome. You're welcome.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 215, Majesty 215.
majesty. Worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, far from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
And we will continue with number 213, We Will Glorify. Please stand as we continue on with number 161, Crown Him with Many Crowns, 161. Hark out.
triumphed o'er the grave, and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crowned in the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways, from pole to pole that dwarf's face sees, and all in prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet their flowers of paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet. Round him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
And you may be seated.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
I wish my mother could be here, but she's 1,100 miles away. So, but I can guarantee you one thing. She's in church this morning. And I know she's praying for me and my brothers, my sisters, her grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren. She's the one that influenced me to learn music and take guitar lessons. She paid for my first guitar lessons. And she also planted the seed of the Word of God in my life. Today's song is about the parable of the lost sheep. So if you'll bear with me. In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, it's written, "Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he spoke this parable to them, saying, 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." This song is called "For Just the One," written by my very good friend Roxine Stone, who wrote the lyrics. was done and the sun was low. The shepherd counted one by one. Each little lamb brought to the fold. They must be home by setting sun. Now 99 were safe within. One little lamb was safe. One little lamb was all alone. The shepherd would not rest that night till this lamb was safe at home. For just as one who'd gone astray, he left the safety of his home. Face the dangers of the world to bring the one back to the fold. For all his lambs he would have come, but he gave his all for just this one. I was the lamb outside the fold, lost and wandering on my own. Alone I could not find my way. The sky was dark and the night was long. I heard a voice and it called my name. The shepherd came and lifted me. For just this one he bore the pain. He proved his love when he rescued me. For just this one he'd gone astray and left the safety of his home. And face the dangers of the world to bring this one back to the fold. For all his lambs he would have come, but he gave his all for just this one. For all his lambs he would have come, but he gave his all for just this one.
Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you give us, especially today, Father, for our mothers and those we call mother. Father God, we ask a special blessing for them today. Lord, we lift up this church and this the children of God that are in this building today, Father God, and we lift them up to you. Lord, we pray for this church, for the Family Life Center, and for all that you provided for us, Lord, that we would take and use them for the furtherance of your kingdom. Father, we do love you and we praise you. Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Who? Samuel. Who's out? That's his dad. Well, it sounds like we need to pray, so let's go forward and pray. Father God, we sure love you, praise you, and Lord, we know that you see all and hear all. And Father, there's nothing that you cannot do, so we lift Anthony up to you right now, Lord, that whatever is happening, Father, that you take care of his need. His mom and dad, Father, is concerned about their son. We praise you for who you are. You're our God, our Lord, you're our Savior. God, you created us to worship you. We're created to have a relationship with you. And I thank you, Father, for this song that we just heard. You love us so much that you'll go after that one sinner that needs Jesus. Help us, Father, to be obedient to you, to be committed to you. I praise you, Father, for the blessings of life that you give us. So many blessings. Thank you, God, for this church. Thank you for our mothers and what the privilege of honoring them on a day like today. I pray, God, that every mother will feel honored and thanked. Father, for those that are in heaven, we give you praise and glory for them too. In Jesus' name, amen. David didn't tell you, but he wrote the music to that song. He and that lady are a duo. They composed several songs together. And David, thank you. You did a wonderful job. We're going to look at mothers today, honor our mothers. I've been praying for us for weeks now. I hope and pray that we love our mothers. We respect our moms, and even though we might not get along with mama all the time, she's still your mama. She deserves to be honored. She brought you into this world, and my mama used to say, I'll take you out of this world. And it's no secret, me and mother didn't always get along together, and she's not here on earth anymore, she's in heaven. But one day I'm going to see her and tell her how much I did appreciate all that she did for me. So we're going to take a moment and just word for our mothers. If you have something on your heart that you want to just say to your mom or about your mom, then this is just the time to do it. So if you want to verbally thank the Lord for your mom, let's do it. Amen. It's amazing what they do for us, isn't it? Don? Yeah, man. Talk about raising the bar right there. Good deal. I have to tell this on Bobby. He was telling us today how he was raised, and he was addicted to sugar, the real sugar stuff, not the side, the sugar. He would take a biscuit and ream out the middle of it and pour sugar in it and eat it like that. Amen. Well, I know what the other party did with biscuits. We sliced up radishes and put on the biscuits. So radish and biscuits.
I wanted to grow up and be a sweet child.
It didn't take. I saw another Pam. Come on. Let's see the tears. Don, were you fixing to say something else? Thank you. Time for one more. I love those generational stories. Well, today, you know, is Mother's Day, and we do honor our mothers, and our not just mothers, women. And there's a slew of women that mother us, especially nowadays when we have mothers working and somebody else is trying to raise us the best they can. So let's give our moms and women a hand, and thank you so much. I wrote this down about mothers. Moms, you know you have the hardest job in the world. Do you agree with that? We know that you do. And someone asked this mother, after having three children, if she would do it over again. And this is her story. It goes like this. The mother of three notoriously unruly youngsters was asked whether or not she'd have children if she had to do it over again. And with a smile on her face, she said, "Sure," she replied, "but not the same ones." Another mom told this story about her senior that he was graduating. When my son graduated from high school, he had to give the speech. He began by reading from a prepared text, "I want to talk about my mother and the wonderful influence she's had on my life. She is a shining example of parenthood, and I love her more than words could ever do justice. There is no better mother." And at this point, he seemed to struggle for words. After a pause, he looked up with a sly grin on his face and said, "Sorry, but it's really hard to read my mother's writing." Yeah. So we're going to look at mothers today. We're going to look at three different mothers from the Bible. And it's just hopefully it's a reminiscing time to look back and remember our moms, and some of the three that I chose, they're speaking to us today, so they have had influence on us. So let's go all the way back to the very beginning and look at Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 18 through 24, and then one verse in chapter 3, and that's verse 20. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a woman shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And then chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible says, "And Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all the living things." Notice how Eve made a difference to Adam, her children, her grandchildren, and she makes a difference to us today. The Bible says that she was the mother of all living. Without her, we wouldn't be here. Her name, you know, back then, names meant something. Her name meant life or living or to breathe. So realize this, even though we don't take names seriously, God does. And he allowed Adam to name her Eve, and she gave life to the firstborn. Moms give us life. They nurture us. They love us. They teach us. They discipline us. They grow us. They bring us to church. They pray with us. Even, you know, boys are different than girls. Everybody knows that. But boys are rough. It's rough raising a 16-year-old boy, a 15-year-old boy, because they think they're men. And they think they know it all. So it's hard raising them, but mama never gives up on you. Mama always loves her boys and girls. So she gave life. And then the Bible says the word comparable. God made a helpmate that was comparable to Adam. This word comparable denotes to complementary. Eve complemented Adam. And the word complement means to combine in such a way where the two become one and each one enhances the other. So Steve, you thank for your mama-in-law that raised a godly wife. But the truth of the matter is, when we take a spouse, guys, God has already figured out what our weaknesses are, and he complements us with a spouse that makes up for our weaknesses and our inadequacies. And I thank you, Rhonda, for being that one that God chose for me. But aren't we grateful to God to know us enough to know that we need somebody to help us? And I've been married long enough to be able to say this. Men really know that we need help. I see one shaking his head, but you'll find out later on today that you need her. The longer we're married, the more we realize how precious our wives, our spouses are. They make up for every inadequacy that we have. They pray for us. They hold us up. They encourage us. We can't make it without our wives. So guys, right now, look at your wife and say, I need you. I need you. Yes, I'm trying. There you go. You didn't have your arm around her a minute ago. Now you do, because you said that. Yeah, I won't get you in more trouble. A helper indicates that even though Adam was created by God, God knew that Adam was inadequate. And he made Eve to fill in for his inadequate personality and abilities, because God had a great purpose for Adam, didn't he? And God knew exactly what Adam was made of and what he wasn't made of. And God's got this big plan. And he's had it since creation. And he knows how to put husband and wife together. For this reason, they become one. That's the way God had it. So, you know, I'm the one that chooses the videos. And I chose that video this morning because I really did like it. I don't know if y'all liked it or not, but I chose it, and we saw it. And I chose another one, and I couldn't decide between the two of them. So I decided, since I'm choosing, we're going to see both of them. So watch this video.
Mommy's here. Oh, my sweet boy.
Do you have any idea what time it is? Can you say mama? Mama?
Mama.
Daddy.
Attaboy.
Open big wide for Mama. What a big boy you are. What a big boy you are.
Oh, hey. Now we can't go to church with jelly all over our face, can we? Oh my goodness. What are you doing with that snake?
You go put that snake back in the hole right now.
Oh, good, buddy. Yeah. Way to go. All right, buddy. Hey. Oh, buddy. You okay? You all right?
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord.
Hey, Mom. Mommy needs just a minute, please.
Hey, Mom. I think you look pretty no matter what, even when your hair looks really weird.
Mom.
Go straight there and come right back.
Hold here, honey.
Oh, Mom's here. It's okay. Oh, you're okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh.
Mom, wait. Stop it.
Mom? Dad? I asked Beth to marry me.
Well, what'd she say?
Welcome to the family.
I'm so happy for you.
Hey, Mom.
Where's that grandbaby?
Oh,
I see you.
Oh, yeah, nice to see you too.
Okay, Mom?
Oh, it's okay.
It's okay.
You did great.
What's that?
The children. You did really great. I always knew you'd be a good dad, but you did really.
Mom, what are you doing? Of course you are.
Come sit with me.
You know, I was thinking just the other day about what a wonderful mom you are. I mean, God really blessed me with a great lady. You're my mom. You've always been there for me. Even when I didn't want you to be. And nobody ever believed in me like you do. Thank you. I love you, Mom.
And I love you, son.
I don't know. I love that video. And it reminds me of what a godly home ought to look like and what godly parents do for us. Thank you so much, Lord, for godly parents. We're going to keep going and look at another mom. So run over to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. John 19, 25 through 27, another mother that made a difference in our lives. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, which was John, standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother," and from that hour that disciple took her to be to his own home. Mary, the mother of Jesus, sure made a difference in our lives today. She raised our Savior, and as she raised our Savior, Jesus still makes a huge difference in our lives. I read this story. It goes like this about Mary. A young Jewish woman named Mary didn't consider anything more meaningful than being the mother of the Son of God. From the beginning, she knew she was irreplaceable in the life of her child, and her sacrificial love remained strong to the end as she watched him die for her and for the world's sins. Jesus, his efforts to care for Mary as he hung on the cross indicates just how much she meant to him. It is the heart of mothers to sacrifice and the need of mothers to be remembered. Surprise your mother this week with an unexpected token of your love. I want you to picture how Jesus hung on that cross for our sins. And as he hung on that cross, he saw Mom and he saw John, two of the people he loved most. If there's such a gauge as that, he loves everybody, but he cared so much for his mother that he looked around and picked out John so that John could take care of her. But think about the flip side. He loved John enough to trust John with the treasure of his life, which was his mom on earth. It takes a great amount of love for us to grow up and to realize how precious our mothers are and that we want them to be taken care of for the rest of their lives. And that's kind of what Mary shows us as she accepts John to take care of her. She saw her dad, I mean her husband, die. And she saw her son die. I don't know what happened to Joseph, but I do know this. God looks down on John. Behold, this is your mother from now on. Tremendous amount of love. So think about this. Mary birthed our Savior. So think about your own children. Mary, there's no way in the world she could have known how large Jesus would loom throughout the generations to come. She knew that she was the mother of our Savior, but she had a human mind, a human heart, and it's kind of hard for us to realize how important Jesus is. But she raised Jesus the best she could and as godly as she could, and she took him to the temple and she taught him about prayer and about the Lord God. So here's what I want you to think about, moms. If you have children, there's no way in the world, if you take a small child, 2 months old, you have no idea what that young child is going to grow up to be. If that child survives life, you could be raising a missionary. My mama had no idea she was going to be raising a preacher. She could have been raising, or you could be raising, a Sunday school teacher, a godly Christian witness to somebody that will make a difference in somebody's life. You just don't know what God has entrusted you with. Do you think that we need godly leaders in this country right now? You could be raising a president. So think about the responsibility that God has put on your shoulders to raise that child in a godly way. Because you don't know who you're raising, and you don't know the purpose that God has for your child. I don't know how things would have been different if my mama had known that she was going to be raising a preacher, but I can tell you this. Had she known she was going to be raising a preacher, I would have been in church more than I was growing up. I would have seen Mama and Dad both praying and studying their Bible. So the best I can, I want to encourage you to realize that God has entrusted you with a treasure or treasures. You don't know what they're going to end up, but God does. And He's got a purpose for them, so do the best you can. Bring them here. Bring them to church. Let us teach them in Sunday school. Let us teach them in vacation Bible schools. And they're going to grow up to be youth. And we got some great youth now, some fantastic youth. But it's not by accident that they turned out good. They turned out good because they got loving parents and they got a loving church. And we love our kids. We love to see them grow up. And your preacher loves to baptize them, get them saved and baptize them, and then watch them graduate from school. And then if they go to college, know that they're getting educated there, and then see them, hopefully, that I have the privilege to marry them and see them go and raise kids. Yes, I read some statistics about things that happen to children today, every day. As they grow up, every day, this is statistics now, over 2,500 kids are born out of wedlock. Don't you know that those kids need a godly mother? Some of those kids will never see their dad. So it's up to mom to raise them, grandparents to raise them, church to raise them, school to raise them. I mean, it takes a whole slew of people to raise them. 2,500 kids are born out of wedlock every single day. Every day, almost 3,000 kids see their parents divorce. They need reassurance. They need to be loved. Every day, over 3,200 kids run away from home. Every day, almost 7,750 teens become sexually active. Every day, almost 2,800 teenagers get pregnant. Every day, almost 1,100 of those teenagers have abortions. Every day, over 1,500 teens drop out of school, and that list just went on and on and on. Every day, mothers can make a difference in these kids' lives. We ought to be making a difference in these kids' lives. Some of those teens that are sexually active are actually 11 and 12 years old. How can we put a stop to things like this? Well, we have another example of somebody that could give us some hints. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to look at Hannah. I love that example in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. And realize that Samuel was born not by accident, but late. Hannah was barren, and she asked God for a child. And it didn't happen in her time. It happened in God's time. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. Now when Hannah had weaned Samuel, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slaughtered a bull and brought it to the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord. Hannah asked God to give her a baby. Back then, if you didn't have babies, people thought that you were under a curse from God. She begged God to have a baby, and God heard her prayer, and she promised to give that baby to the Lord. And she did. Hannah raised Samuel in those few years with the knowing that she was going to sacrifice that baby to the Lord, a sacrificial love. And she prayed for Samuel constantly. And she held him, and she fed that baby, and she took care of him, nurtured him. She prayed for Samuel, knowing that Samuel was going to be given to the Lord's service. She trusted Samuel to the Lord. She gave Samuel over, handed Samuel over to the Lord. She kept her promise to the Lord that she'd give Samuel back to God if he'd let her have a baby. Thinking of what Hannah went through, as God gave her that little baby, brand new little baby, she knew that she was going to have to give that baby back to God when she weaned him. So in the first 2 or 3 years of Samuel's life, Hannah nurtured that baby with the love that knew that that baby was going to return to the Lord. So here's what I want us to think about. Samuel, the baby, grew up and made a difference to all of us. He's the one that God used to get Saul as king, and then Saul failed and he anointed David king. And we have all the writings of David and Samuel in the Bible to affect us today, to influence us today. So when God blesses you with a child, dedicate that child to the Lord early on. And do the very best you can to be able to teach that baby, nurture that baby in the Lord, where you can turn that baby over to the Lord whenever that baby grows up. Man, there's nothing better to see a young couple get married, have a baby, or babies, and nurture those babies in the Lord and watch those babies grow up in the church and go on to the purpose that God has called for them. And in God's eyes, there's nothing better for it either. So Hannah teaches us that those babies don't belong to us. Who do they belong to? They belong to the Lord. I want to close with some of the things that I read, and this is just a small list. I went on and on. I could have gone on and on, of things about women in the Bible that they influenced us by, or they influenced the people around them. When Jesus died, the Bible says that the women were still there when nobody else was. They were the last to leave the cross. And then, remember when Jesus arose, they were first to the tomb of Jesus. As they were first to the tomb of Jesus, they were first to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's arisen. He's not here. Where is he? They attended the first prayer meeting in the book of Acts. They raised godly sons and daughters. Remember Timothy? What did Paul write about Timothy? He had a godly mother and a godly grandmother who taught him about the Lord. They, throughout the Bible, taught their children how to pray. Dad would go out in the field and leave the raising of the children up to the moms until the children could grow up to be helpers in the field. So here's what I want to say to you, moms. Thank you for being mothers. and for doing the very best job you can. And I know that a lot of the things that you do goes unrecognized. So today we recognize your worth. You are worth far more than rubies. And your preacher and your church calls you blessed. Thank you, moms. And the last thing about women, we need you. We desperately need you. Don't give up on us, please. Let's pray. God, thank you for our moms and women in our life. Thank you for what you do through women, Lord, the ministry that you give them, the godly ministries, Father. And they raise your people. They raise your children, whether it be boy or girl. They do the raising most of the time, and they teach them. And they take care of their needs and their comfort. They put their arms around them. And those little babies, they wake up in the mornings taking care of them and throughout their life, Lord. Children always know that mom loves them no matter what. I thank you, Lord, that you gave us mothers. I pray, Father, this time that if somebody needs to experience you in a new way, I pray, God, that you speak to their hearts about how much you love us and that you gave your son down that cross for us. And God, maybe some parents will need to recommit their lives to you, recommit their lives to each other, Father, to decide that they're going to raise godly children by being godly themselves. Speak to us, Lord, during this time of invitation, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And the invitation is always, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you come forward and let me pray with you, and I'll explain to you how to invite Jesus into your heart. But sometimes God speaks to us in ways that I have no idea how he's going to speak, and you have no idea, but if he's speaking to you about different ways to raise your children, maybe there need to be some changes in our lives. Listen to God and let him speak to you, and then maybe you want to come up here. You can pray up here, pray in the pew, but just let God speak to your heart and answer him. Yes, Lord, I hear you, and I'll do it. So let's stand, and I'll be up front. If you need me to pray with you, I'd be glad to.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to ransom my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Sing forever. I really wasn't paying attention to the music. It sure has been good to be here with you guys today. Thank you for coming. not every church has as many as we have. Some have five. We go home and we pass a little church that has about five cars out in the parking lot. I thank the Lord every day. I mean, every time I go by that church, I thank you for our church. Thank you for being here. And go home in a minute. I'm going to pray. But go home and enjoy each other. Enjoy the day. Richard, would you close us?